the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Tara Henry. As always, we are excited to bring you the best of the best in college softball. After the show, head on over to d1softball.com for all the latest news, scores, stories, and more. If you've subscribed today, you can use Podcast 20, that's PODCAST20, for 20% off an annual subscription. We are excited for today's new episode that features USF pitcher Georgina Corrick. The D1 Softball Podcast is sponsored by Bat Club USA. Bat Club USA is a subscription service for premium baseball and softball equipment. In 2016, co-founders Eric and Oscar realized there's a huge performance gap between top-tier bats and the ones most people can afford. So they started Bat Club. Since then, parents have been able to give their kids the best bats in the game at an affordable monthly payment they can afford. Learn how you can give your little slugger access to the best bat for their swing starting at $20 per month by visiting batclubusa.com. Now let's get started. I'm joined by my co-host, Rhiannon Potke. Rhi, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. Coming off a really big weekend. There was so much stuff going on, and we got some great midweek games this week, and plus, I got, you know, the NCAA basketball tournament coming up. So it's just like nonstop sports, which is great. I'm excited.
Yeah, big news from last week. Jocelyn Allo hit 96 in Hawaii against Hawaii, just 30 miles from where she grew up. The Sooners took a trip out to the island. I was lucky enough to be there in person and see her hit 96 in front of Hawaiian fans, OU fans, and her family and friends. Very special moment. Got to speak with Allo after the game, and I think in general just a huge sigh of relief for her and the rest of the team now that it's over, because the media have been all over Allo, and I think they're all just happy that she did it. I mean, it was only a matter of time.
Yeah, 96 home runs, man. I don't know if I could live 196 years and even hit 96 home runs. That's quite amazing. And I'm so glad she was able to do it in Hawaii. I know, like, as she started getting walked, intentionally walked, I know I've kind of said it, I was hoping that maybe it was just fate that she could do it in front of such loving fans and family. And some of the videos that they produced to put out on social media with the Oklahoma Athletics, they were pretty cool to see the reception she got and see the inspiration she's been and the emotions that it brought up in her and other people. So really cool to see that. And kudos to the pitchers to pitch to her. That was awesome that Hawaii pitched to her and allowed her to try to do that. Because as we've seen, not everyone did. So it was cool. It's a really cool moment. I'm glad you got to be there in person, because even just watching it from afar looked really, really cool.
Yeah, it was quite a bone of contention whether teams threw to her or not. And really brought back the whole Barry Bonds deal in when people wouldn't throw to Barry Bonds. And I think at the end of the day, yes, it was difficult. You can't fault teams for trying to win games. I understand when it's on the other end of it, when they're maybe, you know, close to run ruling. But yeah, I'm just glad that pitchers threw to her, Baylor threw to her, Cal threw to her, and Hawaii threw to her. And it was a really special moment. So congratulations to Jocelyn Allo. That was the big news of the week. And then even bigger, well, not even bigger news. I think any other week this would have been the news of the week. Megan Framo with a solo perfect game and a combined perfect game, along with a run of all kinds of perfect games throughout the nation. I mean, Rhi, you were tracking all those perfect games. I don't know if it's because of social media or of our access to information, but I swear it seems like there are more perfect games this year than I've ever imagined.
It was like contagious. All of a sudden, like I have to add another one. Hold on, don't print the Daily Dozen yet. We've got another perfect game sighting. Sound the alarms. It was quite, yeah. It started with Faremo did it like 7 days before that. So she's done three in like an 8 day span, which was ridiculous. Like, I don't know how you do that. I mean, it's Megan Faremo. And granted, she's not going against, like, you know, Oklahoma or Alabama, but I don't care who you're going against. Perfect game is perfect game. So yeah, Megan combined for once. She had her own. Courtney Coppersmith at UMBC struck out 20 batters in hers, which is pretty amazing. Almost like the Hope is Dope, you know, Hope Trotwine yes. from last year. Mary Half at Arkansas threw the first solo perfect game in program history in Arkansas, which is pretty pretty cool there. So yeah, there was a bunch. There was a string of them. And it was somewhere, you know, I think Courtney's and Mary's were seven innings. Megan's, I think, both run rules, but still pretty, pretty amazing feat. And yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think we are seeing more because the hitting's definitely better, but I do think we're seeing more perfect games. I think we're seeing, we're knowing about them more in a sense. Like we have social media now, we can find out about them more. So I think that's really part of it too.
And another thing that I believe we're seeing more of, and this again could be an exposure thing, is inside the park home runs. And Kaylin Arnold tweeted something the other day about the inside the park home runs. And it seems like the outfield fences are extra bouncy. I know that sounds wild, but as an outfielder, I swear they're extra bouncy, or maybe just different reads off the bat to where, you know, players aren't stopping to get the ricochet. I don't know. I mean, am I crazy here, or what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, it's been interesting because some of them are like, you know, like the two this weekend happen to be bounces where they just bounce right back to the infield and people were chasing them. And it happened to be that the people that hit them were super fast too. That helps. So, I mean, maybe others would have stopped at third, but like Kendra Falby and Kiki Meloy just happened to be SEC speed athletes. As we know, SEC speed is a different kind of speed. So I think that was part of others I've watched, like inside the park, some of them, you know, you could gripe, is that some of the error, but they just don't give them an error. Is it a triple and a, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I do. In those particular instances, I mean, they drove them hard, but they bounced really far. They just rolled back, and it was the perfect roll where, like, the outfielder couldn't get in time. The infielders coming out to back it up couldn't reach it in time. And again, those players are super fast. So those were fun to watch. So I was like, I think she's going to go all the way for both of them. I was watching both games and I was excited. So that was a fun thing. Really unique weekend with that. There was all kinds of interesting plays being made across the country.
Yeah. Speaking of the SEC, it started and boy, is it going to be a marathon in the SEC?
Yeah. It's you know, the typical SEC depth there, you know, I mean, it's crazy. We started with Bama, LSU. I think no one expected Montana Fouts to get pulled after, you know, two innings. I mean, there was a tight zone, but she just wasn't herself. And she did bounce back in game three and was back to being Montana Fouts and dominating. But LSU took full advantage of that doubleheader on the first time they met. They played a doubleheader because of the weather. And I mean, they had some patient at bats against Fouts. They knocked her out early. They just kind of went on a blitzkrieg and just blitzed Bama for the doubleheader sweep. And that was without Shelby Sinceri because she fouled the ball off her own face. And so she's injured. But man, Georgia Clark had some big at bats. She had two home runs and she drove in all five runs in that second win. Their freshman pitcher, Raylan Chafin, she had a one hitter in that second game. So they won the series that one day. And as I said, Alabama came back and won. But it was still, even with Fouts, it's a close game. I mean, Allie Kuponen pitched a heck of a game against Fouts. So it was good, you know, it was good to see for LSU. It's promising signs because we've been kind of like, why aren't they living up to, they're a little bit inconsistent. So it'll be interesting to see if they can carry that momentum through and keep that way. We see Taylor Pleasant's kind of coming around a little bit. And then, I mean, Missouri, Tennessee only end up playing two games. Again, the weather was an issue this last weekend. Tennessee beat Mizzou twice at Mizzou. Doubleheader sweep without Ashley Rogers. She still has some health issues. She's not back in circle. So they get a big one this weekend. Arkansas is coming. So that wasn't a shock, but it was the way, you know, they hit. It was, they 13 runs. They kind of blitzed Missouri in that first game and then held on in the second game. Anytime you can get two on the road, though, that's pretty impressive. And then Mississippi State at Florida, like if Mississippi State can pitch like that every weekend, they're going to be in good shape because they haven't pitched like that. Annie Willis and Aspen, they just came and they pitched really, really, really well. And that's typical Florida, though. They kind of just like wait to the last two innings and then win, which is what they did in the third game to win the series. But Mississippi State, that's a good sign. If they can get that kind of pitching, they've got the offense to stay in game. So There was a, you know, and even Georgia lost one on the road to South Carolina and then got blitzkrieg last night by Georgia Tech, which that rivalry is a fun one. That, you know, so that wasn't social media on the Georgia Tech side. Put the poor little bulldog with the sad face after, which was classic.
Brutal. I mean, oh, ruthless. More than, I was like, wow, look at that.
Honestly, the SEC social media shades, like LSU, check out some of their tweets after that doubleheader sweep. They got Beth kind of going by, how many did we win? Two. So I think it's all good fun, hopefully, but that was SEC is not afraid to, like, if they, and so ACC gave it right back with Georgia Tech. Like, you can do it, we can do it. So yeah, I mean, the SEC is the SEC. Like, I think if you win a series, you might not sweep them all. You just, the goal is to just win the series, because that'll keep you in contention, because sweeping every weekend is just, it's not realistic. That's just too deep. And that's the reason they seem to get every team in the tournament almost every year, if not, you know, 12 or 13. So it was a really, really entertaining weekend in the SEC.
Yeah, and there's a big matchup tonight. Speaking of SEC, ACC, big matchup tonight. We're taping this on a Wednesday before the Alabama-Florida State game. So that will be finished by the time this is out tomorrow morning. But really looking forward to that matchup. I know Montana fouled through last night, so I don't know if what kind of matchup we're going to see, but what are you thinking, Ree?
Yeah, she came on relief, so she didn't pitch the whole game. So I think they, you know, I think that that's kind of been with you know, with Kilfoyle still working her way back, they've kind of used Fouts like, okay, if we feel like there's a chance we may have let this lead slip away, we got to get her in to shut the door. And that's kind of been the trend these last, Kilfoyle did return for the LSU series, but she's still, you know, I think they're kind of watching her, monitoring her. I still expect Fouts to pitch. I don't think they're going to, you know, it's a big matchup. Patrick Murphy knows, you know, it's good national publicity. It's what everyone wants to see. He's one that's really, you know, he's cognizant of the impact of the sport in, as a whole. So I don't think she pitched enough to where they wouldn't be able to start her today, but we'll see. I don't know. He could surprise us. I mean, I know Jayla Torrence started yesterday. Maybe he goes with Lexi, but I would just kind of expect, I'm kind of thinking, you know, like everyone would think, I think Sandra Cock Fouts, but they have Kilfoyle and Watson. So it could be that, but I'm betting my money on Sandra Cock Fouts for tonight, because it's such a big, big midweek. It's on SEC Network national stage.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I think it's going to be Sandra Cock versus Fouts, but only time will tell. So that's big matchup on Wednesday night. And that's pretty much it for the week, unless you've got anything else to add, Ree.
No, I don't. I mean, I think we've run through it. I mean, it was really entertaining weekend. I mean, the weather like made it very condensed, but at the same time, there was a lot of great games going on. I always feel like I'm watching one or two, and then I feel like I'm missing the one that I should be watching. And then once I flip over, the other one's one I should be watching. So it was good. I mean, that's the blessing. I think what you were saying is the publicity of softball is now, where there's just so many options and we can get all the information and we can see all of it. And I never take that for granted anymore, because more people care and invest in the sport. And that's, I think, why we're knowing about some of these feats that these, you know, tremendous players are doing. And that's great, but it gives us a show that we could go on for hours and talk about all of it, because it's all good stuff. So, but yeah, that was, SEC openers were great. And we'll get on after our interview. We can get to talk about some other conferences that are going to be opening this weekend.
All right. And speaking of interview, we've got an incredible interview this week with none other. I mean, we agree on this, Ree. We think she should get in the broadcast booth after she's done playing. But who do we got?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Georgina Corrick, who is the queen, the British queen of pitching down in South Florida. She is tremendous in the circle and just a tremendous interview. I mean, she has to be one of the most well-spoken athletes that I've interviewed in terms of just personality. And I mean, she just has it all. And she's her passion for the game and just her personality and just her bubbliness and her perspective on where she is and appreciative and how it's amazing. I think when you listen to this, you'll come away very, very impressed. I think you'd already be impressed if you know anything about her, but then you'll listen to her and you'll be more impressed, because her numbers are impressive enough, but it's the person behind the numbers that really just jumped off the page to me when we talked to her, and jumped off the screen. And yeah, someone at ESPN, you know, Meg, you gotta sign this girl today, get her in the fold now, because she's good. And I think she'll be great to add to any broadcast once she's done playing, because as we'll hear, she's got a lot of aspirations.
All right, here's Georgina Corrick from South Florida.
We are now joined on the U1 Softball Podcast by University of South Florida senior pitcher Georgina Corrick. Corrick is putting together an absolutely dominating season. She's 17-0 with a .06 ERA with 169 strikeouts and only 7 walks in 111 innings pitched. Opponents are batting just .094 against Corrick this season. She's won the Conference Pitcher of the Year award about 200 times now already this season, and the National Award a few times as well, including this week. It was just named today as we were taping this. Welcome to the podcast, Georgina. Thank you so much for joining us.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Yeah, we just listed off. I mean, like, I think I could go on for hours just listing all the superlatives of the season you're having. I know it's hard to talk about yourself and you're very humble, but how does it feel to be going through a season like that with the numbers?
I mean, the best way to describe it is kind of electric, you know, especially you come out and that Clearwater Elite Invitational is a massive tournament every year. It's such an honor that we get a chance to compete in it. And it's got some of the biggest names in the game that not only come and play, but also some alums who come and do a lot of the broadcasting. Even I saw Allie Carta just standing in the stands. I got a chance to say hi to her because I had the chance to compete with and against her a little bit this summer. But it's one of the coolest things ever to have a team like the team that we've got this year that doesn't always get a lot of national recognition, that hasn't always been seen as kind of one of those big competitors. And we went out and we put a 3-1 record out on quite a competitive tournament like that. And I think it really set the tone for us for moving forward the rest of the season so far, and that we've been a competitor offensively. No one can take away from the fact that we're a competitor defensively, obviously. And I think it's giving us a really good chance to make a name for ourselves going into the later part of the season.
Georgina, did you work on anything entering the season to improve? I know you're a veteran and earned a lot, but was there anything that you really did on in the off season that you felt like is translated this season?
Actually, I had a really great opportunity to play with and against USA this summer. And in doing so, I got to compete with some really, really cool people. I got to pitch with Montana Fouts, with Carrie Eberle, who are obviously massive names in the game. And then obviously, of course, Kat Osterman and Monica Abbott. So this whole summer was kind of a really cool classroom setting for me, where I got to ask some of these really, really cool girls why they throw the way that they throw, how they throw the way that they throw. So every single year, I think I've come out and had a different pitch that's been a little dominant. Last year was definitely my rise ball. The year prior was my changeup. So this year I haven't really noticed as much of a dominant pitch coming through, but it's meant that it's been really exciting to see other teams try and pick a pitch of mine and compete against it, because it meant that I've been able to hone a lot of different strengths in different segments of my game. Previous years, a lot of girls or teams have tried to, you know, lay off my high stuff, which makes it very hard for me because that had been my strength. But this year I've been able to work a lot with my cutter, which is kind of the more traditional curveball. I'm throwing a little bit less of a screw maybe per se. So I've just been moving around a little bit some of my strengths. It'll vary from weekend to weekend. And I think it makes it very hard for teams to scout against us. And it makes it very difficult for hitters to try and sit one pitch or get lucky too often.
Yeah, Georgina, you talked a little bit about last summer and being around all those pitching greats. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about international ball. You do play for Team GB and almost made that Olympic, had that Olympic bid against Italy. What would you say the difference between Division I softball is and international softball?
I want to say experience. International, a lot of times you see you know, you hear it quite often that women often peak in our mid to late 20s, you know, which unfortunately is often after our collegiate career. So you see a lot of really great women who have gone international. I know Kelly Barnhill was one who obviously had an amazing collegiate career and has continued it internationally. So when I was able to play international from a young age, it meant that I was playing against some girls who had been competing in previous Olympics, who had been playing on international teams, not just with the same team for 2 or 3 years that you might see in a college career, but for 7, 8, 9 plus years. Obviously, Britt Vonk is a phenomenal one that I'd looked up to for a long time coming into the national game, because she'd been around for so long and she's been great for so long, you know? So I would definitely say the difference for international is that experience and having to learn to throw against the same girl 50, 60, 70 times, you know, and still win and still not have her beat you, because at the end of the day, she's phenomenal as well. You know, that's where international is really, really exciting. And you see a lot of girls play really, really competitively international, because they don't have to play with this fear or this worry that they don't know what they're up against. They do. They know the other team's strengths. They know their weaknesses. And it means that you really have to be the better team to come out on top, which I think Italy did in 2019. They did seem to be the better team than us. They had a lot of the funding, a lot of the experience. TV is a very young program per se, but we gave them a huge run for their money. And I couldn't be more proud of that team and what we did that year, because no one saw us competing the way that we did. And we really brought a lot of good and positive attention to the international field.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. That was such an exciting game to watch. And, you know, it isn't for sure that softball will be back into the Olympics in 2028. It still hasn't been confirmed. But do you have aspirations? Are you going to still keep playing? Is that the dream for you to be available for 2028 for Team GB? And what do you think needs to happen in terms of European softball to have it grow even more than it already has?
I mean, absolutely. Since I was probably 7 or 8 when I first learned about Jenny Finch, the Olympics was my dream. You know, I could show you pages upon pages of like middle school and high school assignments where like you had to write about what you wanted to be when you grow up. And I always said I wanted to be an Olympian. You know, I want to compete in the Olympics. And when I came here and my parents had the chance to meet Lauren Evans, which is how we learned about the GB softball and kind of the international program through coach, it was eye-opening for me. You know, I'd never thought that sometimes the Olympics feels really, really far away. And I didn't think that I was ever going to be good enough to compete on the USA Olympic team. I wasn't even a US citizen. I'm still not. So it kind of seemed like one of these things that I didn't really understand enough to keep following my dream. So being able to have the opportunity was amazing. And the more that I've played softball and the more that I've met girls who've continued to play past college, I know 100% that I could do that. I'm passionate enough about the game. I care enough about keeping my body healthy and doing things the right way, mechanics wise, and knowing all the right people, that absolutely if softball stays in the Olympic for 2028, that is still going to be my dream. The coolest thing, especially for me, is that I've been playing with them now for coming on almost 9, 10 years. So I've been able to kind of see the evolution of international softball. And the coolest thing, especially, has been seeing how much positive attention it's finally getting. Obviously, it's been really, really cool to go over there and see some of these teams compete where you wouldn't expect them to have a softball program. And then you now have girls like Pian Castelli, who is drawing amazing American coverage for the Italian softball team by doing so well in Athletes Unlimited. You know, you see, I know the Australian team with Gabby Plain has had a lot of positive attention. The Canadian team, I work at Pro Swings down in Orlando, usually when I have the chance. And that's, you know, really, really cool because you get to see a lot of Olympians and international girls come through there. And they are really, really passionate about drawing positive attention to the game. And I think that's where we need to step up as an international program, as a softball unit, that recognizes that there's girls that are just as talented as you see on TV here in the States. Overseas, they're just given a quarter, an eighth of the opportunities that are given to American girls, you know? So it's been really cool seeing that the Italian team, the Dutch team, especially GB this year, seem to get a little bit more monetary investment. It's because they're seeing the worth in our sport, they're seeing the worth in letting these girls get the opportunities to train, because it has nothing to do with their talent levels. It has nothing to do with whether they're not passionate about the sport and the program. We just haven't been given the chances. And it's really cool seeing that attitude being spread everywhere for women's sports across the board. You're seeing, obviously, like the Oregon basketball team has drawn a lot of attention to disparities between men and female sports and us just not even getting equal opportunities. And I think that's really cool because that is seen everywhere, not just in the US, in the international field as well. It's just us not getting the opportunities. And when the women are given the opportunities, we're drawing the appeal, we're getting the viewership. And I think that reflects across all, you know, all borders. And it's really, really cool to see a lot of people drawing good attention to it.
Georgina, this is a very pro catcher podcast. We're very pro catcher.
As it should be.
So we are not going to go any longer without discussing your fabulous catcher, Josie Foreman, who is a rare one, which we really want to, I really want to ask you about the relationship between you two, especially the fact that she calls her own game, right? Let's brag a little bit on Josie. I know Coach Erickson was really pumping that up in Clearwater to me, and I was really excited because nowadays it's basically look at your, you know, the armband and let's just go by there. Give us a little insight into that relationship and how good of a catcher Josie is for you.
I can see her through the window. So it's kind of funny because you guys are hyping her up and she's like cuddling this like hydro drug that she just bought the other day. But I love bragging about Josie. It's one of my favorite hobbies ever. She is really, really cool because she's still remarkably young. You know, you see a lot of really, really good catchers in the game. You talk about Kayla Kowalik, you talk about obviously Hemp Hill last year. A lot of those girls had a lot of tenure before they got the attention that they got as catchers, because catching is a really, really hard position. It goes unseen a lot. You won't always know if someone's a good or a bad catcher because oftentimes it gets overshadowed by good and bad hitting or pitching. But Josie is, it's great that you call her a rare breed, because she is. There's no one I've ever met like Josie, who she has a really, really cool sense of humor that allows her to never take the game too serious. But in a sense, it allows her to be a phenomenal competitor. You know, nothing gets her down. She's never disparaged by anything. And behind the plate, she is one of the smartest minds that I've ever seen. I talk a lot about like softball kind of being a video game, because it feels a little bit like that to us. And her and I will always talk about seeing kind of the strike zone, the box that you would usually see on like an ESPN TV. And her and I almost always have, you know, these like bright spots of red that we know are holes in hitter swings, are places where they're going to hit the ball hard, how we know that they're going to hit the ball, how we know they're going to swing. It took me a long time to understand that, because I'd had a lot of experience international and seeing a lot of different swings. So it was amazing to see how quickly she picked up on that and how just malleable her mind is. You know, I'll come in and be like, hey, Joes, I do not have a changeup today, you know, which is a very humbling thing to say as a pitcher. And she just like, she's like, okay, I don't care. She's like, you think I care? I don't care. And she's like, I'm going to make you look good regardless. So I don't care. And it's that kind of aggressive positivity. And just like, she knows the game, so she can be confident kind of manipulating and tweaking the little controls and customizing what she's doing back there, because she is so knowledgeable. But it's always kind of the people that are really, really funny. You know, they're really funny because they're very smart. And she is incredibly smart behind the plate, and she's very humble. She won't take a lot of praise. She is very, you know, salt of the earth, puts her nose to the grindstone, and she works hard. So all the time, sometimes I'll go up to her and be like, I'm really proud of you today, Josie. And she's like, get out of here. You know, she doesn't want nothing to do with it. But I think it's really important to remind her every day that she is a rare breed. There's not a lot of girls like her.
Wow, that's awesome. That's great to hear. It shows. I mean, it shows in your, I mean, that, you know, it's just the pitches she calls and your relationship out there. And we're hearing you today, and you're very, I mean, a great personality and everything. But I remember when I was talking to you in Clearwater, you were telling me that, you know, pre-college, you didn't really blossom very much till you got to college. You were kind of shy and didn't really like to talk too much. What has college done to you to kind of bring this out in you? Can you kind of explain to listeners kind of your transformation since you've been at USF?
Yeah, I think the words I used was cripplingly shy, because that was definitely, it was definitely true. In high school, I was very shy, wasn't very outgoing, kept very to myself. I think college softball and the vast majority of college sports, it really gives people an opportunity to figure out who they are by giving them the means to have fun doing it. You know, sometimes we get very, very scared to be who we want to be, or to settle into our personalities, because we're scared of people not liking us. You know, that's kind of an inherent fear that a lot of us have as just social creatures, is worried that people will think we're weird, you know, but every single one of us is weird. College athletics gives you the chance to hang around the same 30, 40 girls every single day and see that every single one of them is just as weird as you thought that you were. And you have a built-in family, you know, as weird as you probably are with your parents or your siblings, and you have like that relationship that you couldn't trade for anybody. There's no replacing it. That's kind of what I think college athletics allows, especially young women, to do, is to have this platform where we get to fail, and we fail as a group, we fail as a unit, and we kind of bond through our failure. So you're able to become more confident and you're able to grow into who you want to be because you're getting the chance to experiment and figure it out. And no one's ashamed of you. No one's mad at you. Every single one of us is working with a collective goal in mind. And we know that every single one of us has that same goal. So you bring all of these different personalities and these different backgrounds and demographics and belief systems together. And you realize that every single person is way more in common than you ever are different. So I think college softball allowed me to really settle into my personality and settle into my confidence by allowing me to make these undeniable connections with girls and realizing that those connections are everywhere. You know, if I spoke to you guys for more than 5 minutes, I could find things that I'd be able to bond with you guys about and make a connection with. And I'm not scared to make that connection anymore because I'm so confident in how I've done it with my teammates that now it's allowed me to extend that confidence into the real world, per se, into kind of the business or the professional side of things, because it's taught me so much about who I am and who other people are. And I'm not scared of other people anymore because I know who I am.
Wow, that's powerful. That's great too. And that's good stuff. I'm glad. And that's what sports does. That's it transforms lives and makes, you know, girls more confident and more empowered. And well, this has been, I mean, we took you from practice and it's been a long, I don't want to keep you forever. And I
don't know. You guys are great. Oh, you got me in the AC. I'm chilling.
Yeah. Well, you can keep you longer if you don't want to go back to practice, but yeah. It is so true, Georgina. I think all those things that you touched on in terms of your teammates, you're in such a special time in your life to where, I mean, I kind of wish that I could go back and be around surrounded by, you know, 25, 30 of my best friends every day. And I think that is what's so great about not only women's sports, but softball. It's super unique. And in terms of your teammates, what are some like goofy things that you guys do? Like, do you have a pregame routine that you all do? Is there a song that you listen to? Do you play hacky sack? Like, what is your kind of what we would say would be the glue that keeps you all together or something that you guys might do as a team?
I think the glue all together is kind of just our sense of humor. A lot of us have, the more you spend time with the same group of people, the more you guys kind of gel and become the same person, you kind of like link up. So we've had little things that we do. We have like, we picked up like a cheer from a teammate from my roommate, my sophomore freshman year, used to be like, yee, yee, anytime anyone did anything. And that's become like the chant of USF softball recently. So like Megan Piero is a huge one. I'm looking at these hooligans right now. They're like literally standing in a T pose. I don't know why they're doing that. They're just doing that. You know, I think when you spend enough time with the same people, you have to find new ways to make each other laugh. So like the yee thing is a big one. We have a running joke. One of our student assistants, our grad assistants, Megan Hargraves, wasn't allowed to watch SpongeBob growing up. So we have now taken it upon ourselves to make every single inside joke a SpongeBob joke so that Hargraves doesn't get it. So that every single one of us will make a joke directly in front of Hargraves so that we can be like, oh, you know, the lid. And then turn and be like, oh, Hargraves, he wouldn't get it, hun. And then just walk away.
So mean.
It's very much like we find little things to like have a good time with each other about. But I think just a sense of humor all together on this team is undeniable. You'll see it anytime you like pan the camera to our dugout, you'll see people like holding bats, you know, like doing whatever they want to do. Because again, we're like not really nervous about being weird around our teammates because we're like infinitely weird all day long. So it's just finding new things to be weird about together. And I think the Yee one is a big one. They started making shirts for us about that. But yeah, that's definitely just like some little stuff that you'll pick up. And every single week, it's something new, you know, so there's no consistency amongst that, you know, it's just being weird.
Yeah, I stood behind that dugout and that was lively. I literally, I don't think I watched the game. I just think I watched the in dugout things that you guys did. It was highly entertaining.
So. It's like having 35 siblings, you know? So like whatever weird stuff you do with your siblings is exactly what we come here and do, you know? Yeah. So it's great.
It was awesome.
Especially for the girls that are like, that didn't have younger, older sisters growing up. You know, they come in the dugout and they're like, gosh, you guys are so weird.
Yeah, that's us.
Yeah.
Let's end on this because we've talked so much softball and we know you're not like just a softball robot. Numerous hours are dedicated obviously to the craft. What's something off the field you like to do or maybe that people might not know about you that's kind of unique about you beyond softball?
Oh goodness. there's a couple of things that like me and the girls especially have like bonded off the field doing. So Megan Sheehan and I are very crafty. We usually every single Monday we'll go thrifting. I'm a huge thrifter. I'm a huge collector of books. So oftentimes Meg, she will go off and she's really, really great at like finding things that look great on her. And then every now and then she'll pick something up and she's like, this would look good on you. And I was like, no, it wouldn't. She's like, trust me. And she's always right, you know, whatever. And I'm always in the book section. I've picked up 17 books. I'm not putting any of them back. I have no space in my college apartment for them. I just collect them. It's awful. I will like maybe on an away trip, read one. There's no catching up on my to be read list. But actually during quarantine, I picked up crocheting because I have a really bad habit of biting my nails when I'm nervous. So it would drove my parents nuts that on the mound, I'd like be biting my nails in the dugout, be biting my nails. So over quarantine, I was like, I'm going to find something to do with my hands. And I picked up crochet and I actually really loved it. And every now and then me and my teammates, they'll like come to me like, hey, can you like make me a beanie really quick? I was like, yeah, I can do that. And it's just really cool. I like the process sometimes with softball. There's not always like results per se. Like you do really well, but there's nothing to like you can hold with your hands. I like the idea of making something very physical and giving it to somebody as a gift. It feels like a very like tangible sign of like love and kindness. So that's really cool that I've picked that up, and it's a really exciting thing I like doing.
Well, I can see you crocheting in the dugout. That would be
I think Coach would actually lose his marbles if I did that. If I brought my big bag of yarn in there, he'd go mad.
Like, Coach, I just need something to stop biting my nails. This is completely on the spine. Like, I can do this.
Yeah. I think I can make a whole beanie in one game. I really do.
He'd be
ballistic. He'd be mad at me, but I would have a beanie for him.
We should have a camera just trained on that dugout while you crochet. Can you make something in 7 innings while you're pitching a no-hitter and, like, striking out 22? Like, we'll just keep track.
I could do my best. I can't promise you my stitches would be clean.
well, I might tab you. I might have to send, you know, well, now it's like an NIL, but like even after I'll send you some money for like beanie. You can make a D1 softball beanie for us. That would be great.
I could give it my darndest.
We love it for that. But man, Georgina, we're going to have you back. We could talk for hours, but I don't want your, you know, the lovely people at USF to get too. I'm sure you've done a whole bunch of these this week, but this is amazing. Us at D1 softball, we have kind of like a Georgina watch, like the ERA, how far can it plummet this weekend? It's kind of like on our radar. We have a tracker. So I don't know. 0.06 is pretty low already. So, you know, if you go up a little bit, that's still awesome, but we're going to be tracking it. So.
Oh, you guys are the sweetest. Thank you so much. I'm sure my dad really appreciates that. I don't really keep track of these things, but John loves it.
That's good. Well, that's why you are good. You don't keep track of it. When you do, that's when it gets in your head. So we'll have you back. I know we will definitely as the season goes on. Congratulations on what you guys have done so far. And it's just a fun team. Anyone out there listening, as many USF games as you can tune into, check it out. It's a great, you know, great group. And thank you so much, Gina, for being on the D1 Softball Podcast.
Thank you guys for having me. I had a phenomenal time.
Georgina Corrick, USF ace in the circle, and just incredible in terms of her personality. I mean, we could have talked to her forever, and she's in the middle of practice kind of looking out as if she were a queen, kind of looking out at everybody, and just a breath of fresh air and just so fun to talk to, and incredibly happy that we had her on the pod this week.
Yeah, she's in demand this week, and we're lucky. I think we requested her for a few weeks. I said, whenever she has time in her schedule, that's how, you know, she's, they play a lot of midweeks too down there. So I was always trying to get it around games, but she's just such a great personality. So refreshing. She's got such a good view of the globalness of the game, literally and figuratively. And you know, she's going to crochet us some D1 softball beanies. So we're all on board with that. So.
I think that we'll ship all those out to you, Ree, because I don't know that we'll need beanies out here over on the West Coast. But yeah, no, I would love that.
Yes, we do. I love my beanies.
Heading into week 6, we are opening Pac-12 play, believe it or not. The UCLA Bruins open up with Arizona at home. I don't remember the last time UCLA played Arizona the first weekend of Pac-12 play, but it's happening. So that'll be a good test for the Wildcats, Caitlin Lowe, her squad there, her first season at the helm. And then you know, Utah's going to play Oregon. I've got my eye on that. Utah's had a tough kind of five games here after they had that brilliant game against Oklahoma in Palm Springs. So we'll see. We'll see if they can bounce back against Oregon. And any other games you're looking forward to, Reed, this weekend?
Yeah, in the ACC, particularly Clemson, Duke, we got the defending champions of tournament, defending season champions, the two league newcomers, the newest programs. That's going to be a really good series with Clemson and Duke. Both are, you know, Duke is 6-0 in conference. Clemson's 3-0. They had last weekend off from conference, but played in their own tournament. So it's going to be fun to see that one. Duke's still rolling along even without Shelby Walters. Their pitching has been up to snuff. Peyton St. George helps, so that's great. That's going to be a fun one. St. George and K going at it a few times. In the SEC, I got my eye on Alabama, Kentucky. This is a really, really rough stretch for Alabama. Just a really challenging stretch when you get LSU, then you get a midweek FSU, then you get Kentucky, and they played the midweek last night too. That should be a good one. I mean, Kentucky, they out-hit people here and there, they'll get some great pitching performances, but mainly they're going to out-hit you. So seeing if they can get the best of Fouts and Kilfoyle at Torrance, that's going to be fun. And then out here, my backyard, I'm going to go to the games. Arkansas, Tennessee, because I think there's going to be a lot of balls possibly flying out of the park when those two face off. Obviously, they both do have some pitching, but their home run potential is high with those teams. So that's another one, the SEC. And then non-conference-wise, I'm going to be checking out LSU, Texas, checking in on that, seeing those two programs trying to turn it around, feeling like they're kind of on more of an upswing, seeing if that'll continue this weekend.
Yeah, and the Big Ten, they're still not in conference play, but Northwestern plays Stanford. I've got my eye on that game. I think that's going to be a good test for Stanford. And also in the Big Ten, Ohio State has another game set against USF. Now, Georgina Corrig did not pitch against Ohio State in the last game, but they're playing – USF and Ohio State are playing each other three times in Ohio State's. They've got this massive road trip that's happening right now. They're playing like double digit games in like 8 days. It's been mad, but I've got my eye on that again, and we'll see what happens if Georgina is in the circle for South Florida. And with that said, I think that's it for the week. Ree, any final thoughts?
Yeah, you mentioned Ohio State. Really shout out, man. Jada Cody, 41 RBIs this season already. Leading the nation. She had one last night against Ohio State. They beat the Buckeyes at home. So that's someone to watch. We've had her on. She's one of our D1 Player Society members. Just a really, really fun player to see. But, you know, number 41 last night. So I know Bailey Klingler's probably going to be trying to outdo her this weekend. So it's kind of a race between those two. Fun race to see who's got the RBI lead.
Yeah, Jada Cody. I mean, I wouldn't pitch to her. I mean,
they try not to, but Shannon Doherty, the 90210, and I know she probably gets it all the time, but my generation, it's always going to be Beverly Hills 90210. Every time I hear her name, I can't help it. I'm sorry, people. I am one of the, I think, immediately of Brenda on 90210. So Shannon Doherty got her back in that lineup. So it's hard to get through with pitching around her.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for the D1 Softball podcast this week. Head on over to d1softball.com. Like, subscribe, send us an email if you have any questions or you'd like a guest to be on the podcast or just simply have any questions. You can send us an email at info@d1softball.com, or you can even join our top 25 chat every Monday. We've got it at 1:30 Pacific. And so if you have any questions about top 25 or just about Division I softball in general, you can hop on that chat and submit your questions there and we'll get them answered. That's it for the week. Tara Henry for Rhiannon Potke. We'll see you all next week.